Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome along to 2022's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship coverage here on IMSA Radio. www.imsaradio.com. Good to have your company wherever you are in the world. Exclusive coverage of the qualifying for the qualifying race. Yeah, I know. But it's the Raw. And we're underway and we're competitive for the first time in 2022. Hello, everybody. It's John Hindorf in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with Shea Adam in our VP Racing Fuel pit lane reporter role. Jeremy Shaw alongside me. Good to have your company wherever you are. Shea, first of all, let's get down to you. As everyone is just going out at the moment, what's the stories this weekend? You've been doing our previews for us from Daytona. What do we need to know?
Well, the biggest story from actually being out on the pit lane is just how crowded it is. We've got 61 cars that are trying to start the 60th anniversary race, and it means that each of the pit boxes has been significantly reduced in size. 20 feet from the front to the back of the pit box, it's very crowded when all the cars come into their spaces. And right now, with the green flag having just come out for the GTD segment of this qualifying session, pro and am, it should be noted, that means that we've got about 36 cars leaving the track to go out, leaving just the prototypes in their boxes. It feels a lot less crowded when that happens, but of course, if we get a red flag, and we've had a fair few number of those so far through the three practice sessions, well, this pit lane is going to be very congested once again because you must come back to your pit box. You may not go sit and wait in the fast lane. We do, though, have one fewer car going out for this qualifying session because the 66 Gradient Racing Acura had an accident in the second practice session at turn 5. Heavy contact for Kvinson, the youngster trying to make his debut. An Acura driver, it should be noted, though. He had heavy contact the car with right rear damage. The team is working to repair it. They said they might get it ready in time for the race tomorrow, but it definitely will not run night practice today, meaning that that car will have to qualify its nighttime requirements for Till Bechtolsheimer, the bronze driver, Kiffin, and of course Mark Miller, the two silver drivers in the car, during the Rolex week. So that's something else to keep an eye on. But now we've got cars crossing the start finish line for the first time. We're about to see some times.
Thank you, Shea. And already had the Cetelar Racing Ferrari spinning. Also had the number 15 WeatherTech AMG GT3, one of two Mercedes that they're running, plus the Porsche as well, of course. And that car has just had a spin but has recovered as well. Jeremy Shaw, there you are, I think. Welcome to the Hagerty Global Broadcast. It's been so long, I've forgotten how things work.
Yeah, no kidding, absolutely right. Me too, yeah. Great to be back. Whoops, was that different? There's a spin there between the number 39 Peregrin Racing with Carbon Lamborghini this season. It was an Audi last year, Lamborghini this year. God, crikey, people spinning all over the place. Conditions are pretty tricky out there. We've just finished, if you haven't been with us earlier, a three-hour IMSA prototype challenge race. It started out in the wet, then dried out. There was a drizzle again towards the end, and clearly it's really tricky out there right now. Just very, very difficult conditions for these drivers.
Yeah, the number 70 Inception McLaren's just gone around at turn two as well. Live and exclusive on IMSA Radio. No other place to follow this at the moment. If you're joining us, thank you very much indeed. We've got sound and vision for you tomorrow. Ooh. For the qualifying race. Really feel for the Austin Cindric driven Mercedes coming out.
He lost it.
Yeah, coming out of the bus stop, Jeremy, accelerating up back onto the high banks, and the back end came around, and he clipped the car on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert McGuinness there was completely minding his own business and got nailed into a spin by Austin Cidric. Yeah, really surprising there to see that he just lost it, basically, and the car got a bit of a tank slapper on, and poor old Robert McGuinness was in the wrong place at the right time. And they got clipped around. Hopefully, the damage on those two cars isn't too bad, although Cindric certainly isn't up to speed in that number 15 Mercedes, is he? I tell you what, it's a busy week, though, for Proton competition. We knew they were going to be running two cars, but then just a week or two ago, it was confirmed they were going to bring a third. And oddly, we got the one Porsche and two Mercedes, as you were alluding to just a little while ago, John. So there's some different camps being... I presume the cars are pitted separately, and it's going to make things rather difficult for that Proton team.
Yeah, and no team orders for the WeatherTech team either. 59 is the metallic ginger McLaren copper, I think, is probably the right.
It's not really papaya, is it?
McLaren orange. There's no such thing as papaya. That was a made-up.
I know. It's cool there.
Indeed. So the McLaren going around. The 39 Lamborghini, which is the black and bright green car, has recovered, and that is still going forward. Good to see the Ferrari. This is the Ricci Ferrari 62 that is out there again as well. And good to see those back, Jeremy.
Yeah, very much so. And it is. I mean, what a stellar field it is for GTD this week and next. Just fantastic. Of course, the GTD Pro making its debut this weekend competitively, and just a fantastic field of cars in GTD and in GTD Pro.
Shay Adam, let's go down to the pits for an update. The 15 AMG WeatherTech car, which was involved in that incident earlier on with Austin Cindric, we're halfway through this qualifying session. It's going slow again at the exit of the bus stop. Meantime, Shay Adam has this pit lane update here.
One car on the pit lane right now, and that would be car number 27, the heart of Racing Aston Martin, running in the GTD category. Came in, pulled to a stop, nobody jumped over the wall and touched it, which is good news, meaning the Roman De Angelis keeps the times he's already established. But the bad news is the left front wheel is not secured on the car. It is sticking about 2 inches out. So not good for the heart of racing. Not a good start for the team looking to try and win this championship this year.
Thank you, Shay. And if you think Shay sounds a little muffled, that's because she's wearing a mask to comply with the IMSA COVID protocols in the pit lane. And anybody who isn't wearing a mask should be, whether they're in the press room, in the infield or anywhere else. That is strict protocol here at Daytona. If you're outdoors, you don't have to. She's choosing to wear it in the pit lane. But if you're indoors, like the press room, and there was a few people I saw on the pictures the other day from Thursday and Friday who weren't wearing it, shame on you. Let's make sure you do it, please. Otherwise, we won't have any racing to go to. It's down to you guys. Take the responsibility. 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, that went quickly, doesn't it?
It doesn't it ever. Mercedes at the top of the pile at the moment. We should mention, Jeremy, we have GTD and GTD Pro here. 13 GTD Pro cars. They were not necessarily the quickest cars, of course, because they're all the same specification, but it is. Ben Barnicot has just gone to the top of the pile in the Lexus number 14.
Yeah, just ahead of Mauro Engel. So Ben Barnicot, having driven for the last 5 years or so for McLaren, got this opportunity to join the Vassar Sullivan Lexus team, and he goes fastest. We're used to seeing that number 14 car towards the top of the chart, slightly different colours this season. It's more black than yellow. Sealmaster back on as a major title sponsor with this team, and Ben Barnicot, the Englishman, the young Englishman, making full advantage of this opportunity and showing his paces here, his first ever run here at Daytona. 35 cars we should have, John, but we've got several cars not out on the racetrack. Nick Boole appears to have a problem in the number 99, a hardpoint Porsche. He's stopped out on the racetrack. We saw Cindric limping his way back to the pits. Also, Roman De Andres, did we just mention that? That's got a problem as well. Four cars have not gone out, or three cars have not gone out. We heard about the Gradient Racing Acura number 66 from Shea, also not out on the racetrack. Our Kyle Washington in number 34 GMG Porsche, and Ted Giovannis in the team TGM run by Wright Motorsports Porsche as well. I think they're just they're not running for full season points, so they don't need to worry about where they start for the race tomorrow. I don't know whether they are going to run the qualifying race tomorrow or not, John. Do you?
No, but that is a change of manufacturer, of course, for those guys formerly with GM with Camaro and.
Well, not. They ran the Porsche last year in the Rolex 24 at Daytona.
Yes, that is true. Yes, absolutely. Sorry, yes, I'm getting confused with the Michelin
Ben
Challenge.
Ben Barnicot that improved his time, but he had to because John Miller has done a sensational job in the number 59 McLaren. That's a crucial motorsport entry, making its debut this weekend. And John Miller was quickest at 147.8, just been eclipsed by Ben Barnicot at 147.5. It's number 14 Lexus for GTD Pro ahead of the regular GTD number 59 McLaren.
Just a quick note that we're talking about Ben Barnicot a moment or two ago. Great interview with Ben from Shea in the preview show yesterday. ImsaRadio.com if you want to pick up the two preview shows for IMSA WeatherTech on Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. That is, 8 o'clock back in the UK. We'll have our Michelin Pilot Challenge preview with Shea and a whole heap of interviews there. We're into the last 3 minutes. Barnicot leading at the moment for Lexus from Sheldon von der Linde for BMW M4 GT3. The M4 is very popular. So popular, in fact, that they can't get them to all their customers, Jeremy. Paul Miller Racing don't have theirs yet.
No, that's right. They announced they are going to be running a BMW, the UM4 GT3 this season. Curiously, however, Turner Motorsport, I think they've got two cars already, haven't they? So that's somewhat odd. The BMWs, they've been languishing all the way down the bottom of the charts through the practice sessions so far. We've had three this yesterday and today. But all of a sudden now, we saw Sheldon van der Linde. Well, he was briefly into second or third position. He's now down in seventh. That's how close it is. Ben Barnicot, Matthew Jaminet briefly to the top in the Pfaff Motorsports Porsche. That's running as a GTD Pro car this season. He's running in second place though, because Ben Barnicot improves again now to a 46.957. So he's got about 17 thousandths of a second over Jaminet. And a new fastest time there's Alex Imperatore in the KCMG Porsche car number 2. He goes quickest, 146.905. Boy, it's tight at the top.
Mauro Engel going wide out on the far side at turn 5 and 6 before he goes back up onto the high banks, and that has cost a little bit of time for the number 57 for the 97. 57, Russell Ward, doing very nicely, and at the moment is the best of the GTD runners. We have two classes of GT3 cars this weekend, GTD Pro and GTD. That's the new way for 2022. Top three are Imperatore, Barnicot, Jaminet. So that is Porsche, Lexus, Porsche, 2, 14 and 9. But it is Russell Ward who is the best of the rest. And as I say that, yes, he still remains at that point. But that's because John Miller's gone up to second. John Miller up to second in the 59 McLaren. What a fantastic run for John.
Absolutely right now. And goodness gracious me, Kenny Hubble has just gone second. Russell Ward, is that right? Goes to the top. I mean, conditions are getting better now. That drizzle seems to have dissipated. The track is getting faster and faster now, with now just less than 15 seconds to go in the session. Russell Ward goes fastest in that car that won here last season, the Wynnewood Racing Mercedes. Kenny Harbaugh, second position in car number 75. With the greatest respect, yep. Kenny, I'm impressed.
Hey, great run for Kenny to second position.
Goodness gracious. Ahead of all the pros.
Yeah, the checkered flag is out. Great run for the Sun Energy One team in the Dubai 24 hours last weekend. That car right in amongst it all the way through. And Kenny doing his job there. That's a fantastic run, as Jeremy says, for that car.
Sector one.
And to the top is Russell Ward in GTD.
We mentioned that. But Ross Gunn has got to second place now in number 23 Aston Martin for Harter Racing team.
Harter Racing also second in class in GT4 in the Dubai 24 last weekend. Although running, as I say, with a GT4 car. So those guys reprising their good result. Although
honour has been restored.
Yes.
Germany in a GTD Pro FAF Motorsports Porsche. He's gone to the top ahead of Russell Ward. Russell is still out on the racetrack. We'll see. He's coming up to the line now. He's following. I think that's Kenny Hubble. He's following, actually. And Kenny Hubble went to second and nips ahead of Russell Ward in third. That's a remarkable performance. The top seven have all taken the checkered flag. So it looks like Matthew Jaminet will be quickest in the GTD Pro, then two GTD regular cars, Hubble and Ward in the two Mercedes, ahead of the factory cars, by the way, or factory cars, pro cars, let's say. Massively impressive. I lie, Porsche 1-2, but now it's Alex Imperatore.
Wow.
Who was the seventh, goes to the top.
It was eighth. Eighth, actually. Eighth, yes. You said the top seven had took the checkered flag, Jeremy. You were right. He was eighth, and he's jumped from eighth to first.
So we got two pro Porsches at the front there. Car number two, what a debut for KCMG, that Hong Kong-based team, making its debut in the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And Alex Imperatore, who has raced here before, so he knows the track okay. And, of course, he's got plenty of experience in this KCMG Porsche, primarily in Europe, I think, and in the Far East. Originally from Switzerland, but based in Japan, though, for many, many years. And a tremendous performance, and looks like he's going to have the pole position. Yeah, I think everybody now has completed their qualifying runs. Wow.
Well, don't underestimate KCMG, the KC Motor Group. It's a huge concern. They have very, very high ambitions in motorsport, and it's a phenomenal organisation. And Alexander Imperatore has nicked away pole position by 0.063 of a second there from Matthew Jaminet, Full Works Porsche driver, in second place for the number nine.
To say this, Porsche. It's a bizarre order here. I mean, it really is. Anybody who would have predicted this, John, my hat would be off to you, because
I was going to say you'd have got good odds, Jeremy, wouldn't you? You got good odds on that.
Gracious. I'll say remarkable. And GTD, yeah, the two Mercedes there in third and fourth overall, well ahead of the pro Mercedes. Mauro Engel, who's been driving for the Mercedes for many, many years, is almost a 0.8 of a second slower. He's down in 10th position in the best of the pro Mercedes. That's bizarre, to be honest.
So KCMG.
Funky stuff going on here, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some balance performance changes before next weekend's race.
This is the qualifying that sets the grid for the qualifying race. Let's remind ourselves, and the qualifying race will set the grid for next weekend's Rolex 24 at Daytona. So it is Porsche, KCMG from Porsche Pfaff Motorsport, the Motul-sponsored car with Matthew Jaminet, Philippe Nasser, Matt Campbell in that car. But what a run by Alex Imperatore with Dennis Olsen, Patrick Pele and Lawrence Vanto in that car. Now, you only need two drivers to drive tomorrow in the race, and we'll find out who have been nominated for that. Shea Adam is down in the pit lane. The blue, black and white Porsche from KCMG, they came, they saw, they put themselves on pole position, Shea.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you? Yeah, Matt Housen, congratulations, welcome back to IMSA. That's quite a declaration of intent. It's not pole position for the race, but it's still the best place to start tomorrow, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, you say welcome back to IMSA, this is our first time here. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a number of months in the making with planning this event. We've got a really strong driver lineup, really strong team. So, we're just, you know, kind of doing our bit. Obviously, as you say, this is not the 24, this is only the Raw, but we're just concentrating on our own plan and of course, learning as we go.
Do you enjoy this role, sitting on the pit box?
I do, yes. It's been now, this is my third year since driving to pit wall. Each year gets a little bit easier, but I get the same buzz, possibly even more, when I see my guys do things like that. And you have to bear in mind, Alex has never done a dry lap in Daytona before that session.
Wow. Oh, come on. I know you missed the driving, though. But, hey, congratulations. Great start. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Matt Housen, an accomplished driver.
Alex actually raced here in 2014. He made his... He wasn't a Porsche, obviously, but he has driven here before.
Yeah, and KCMG, it is their debut. Matt Housen, an accomplished driver in his own right, making the step up. Literally as well as metaphorically to above the pit lane and on the box there. That's a stout run for Alex Imperatore, often thought of as more of a prototype driver. He's done a lot of work in P2s and P3s in the past, but clearly, Jeremy, converting his talent into the GTD Pro category.
Yeah, fine effort there by Alex. He's 34 years of age now, wow. Originally from Geneva, but as I said, he's lived a lot of time in the Far East. I think he's based in Shanghai at the moment in China. That was a fine effort. You know, he has driven here before back in 2014. Didn't finish the race, but he has made his presence known in this qualifying session.
So, GTD and GTD Pro, the new GTD Pro, and by the way, we were talking about this on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday when we were doing our preview of this this weekend within Midweek Motorsport over on our sister channel, RS1. Number of people saying, you know, it was a chance that was taken by IMSA. 13 cars in GTD Pro. Well done to them. John Doonan and the rest of the team, congratulations. They are setting the standard again in world-class sports car and endurance racing. GTD, by no means diminished, by the way, by that. So it's two GTD Pros, two Porsches, and a two GTD Mercedes, the Sun Energy One number 75, and then the number 57 Mercedes behind that in the standard GTD category is the Wynnewood Racing car, and that's a very good run, Jeremy Shaw, by Russell Ward. He's got his A game going this weekend.
Yeah, hasn't he just? That was indeed a stout effort there. Just looking back by notes here, by the way, 2014 was when Imperatore made his debut in this race. Didn't finish. He was driving a Porsche in GTD that weekend, and so didn't finish the race. But that was a fine effort. Sorry, what was the question?
Russell Ward doing it.
Russell Ward, yeah, tremendous effort.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive. I mean, you having won the race last year, of course, with that Wynwood team. That was a bit of a surprise win to come on their debut in this championship, looking to make it two in a row. But my hats off to Kenny Harpel. That was magnificent to out-qualify Russell Ward in that number 75 Sun Energy One car.
They were so on the pace last weekend at Dubai for the 24-hour race, and that car was right in the mix. Kenny did his hours and a bit more, so it was a cracking run for him. And strange things can just affect the confidence of drivers, Jeremy, and there's so much in the head of drivers as much as there is in the talent and the feel in the backside and the hands, isn't there?
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. And again, just it was a Mühlner Motorsports Porsche that Imperatore ran back in 2014, by the way. But you're right, tricky conditions here, but it's Imperatore that comes out in front there. But what an effort by Kenny Harpel. Third position, you've got to be kidding me. That's remarkable.
A top GTD qualifier. Top GTD qualifier, Jeremy. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Effectively, that's a pole position.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in class, just absolutely right. Because, I mean, the cars are running the same specs, pro and non-pro. But goodness gracious me, that is quite remarkable. Very, very, very impressive. Now, though, on to prototypes.
Hello to Wicked Racer, Bill, who's tweeting in at IMSA Radio. That's how you get in touch with us. Already missing checking to see where Patrick Long is on the timesheets. It's not the same, he says. Yeah, I understand that. At IMSA Radio this weekend, we've got the whole of the qualifying race tomorrow live. And if you're outside of the US, it'll be live in sound and vision as well on IMSAradio.com. Bit of bonus coverage for you now, just in the audio side of things, with a little bit of dampness earlier on, and the track still, it looks greasy in places, Jeremy, as the LMP3 cars go out to qualify.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And we've had some drizzle on and off for this afternoon, so track conditions are certainly not ideal right now. And just looking at the lap times, 146.1, that fastest time there for Alex Imperatore in that last session. The qualifying lap record here was set by that same, by the FAF Porsche on 145.2. That was actually in 2020 that was set the fastest lap in qualifying. And for the qualifying race last season, it was Ryan Hardwick who was on the pole in GTD at a 146.8.
Lovely to hear the V8s from the LMP3s around Daytona International Speedway. Thank you very much indeed to Tyler Norling and the rest of our IMSA technical team for getting us up on the PA, and also to NASCAR Productions for making sure we can see the whole circuit. As ever, it's a team effort here from a number of different people up in London, should I say, always up in London. Tim Gray's on duty at coming up to 9 o'clock in the UK to make sure that this gets to the world on imsaradio.com and RS2, which is the permanent home of IMSA Radio. It's John Hindorf and Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, and Shea Adam in the pit lane for us. We're in the opening moments of a 15-minute session for the LMP3s. Pretty decent LMP3 entry again, Jeremy, and this is a class that continues to grow within the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
It does, John, and of course this is as last year when LMP3 made its debut here at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. This is not a round of the regular season championship for LMP3. Mm. It is only a round, or it is a round, I should say, of the Michelin Endurance Cup, that being the four long-distance races. Here, Sebring 12 hours, Salem 6 hours of the Glen, and Petit Le Mans at the end of the season. So those are the four long-distance races, but this does not count toward the season-long championship for LMP3, and therefore we've got some different combinations out here this weekend than we will be seeing for most of the season.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you make there, Jeremy. If you're new to IMSA Racing and joining us here this weekend, there are effectively three championships within the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. There's the full championship with everybody doing everything. There's the long distance championship, which is the Michelin Endurance Cup. And then there's the Sprint Cup as well, which are the shorter races. Gives people the opportunity to cherry pick, I suppose, Jeremy, and pick and choose what they think will work best for them. And we've got people like Gradient, who last year did the Sprint Cup. This year, hopefully we'll see that car out this weekend, but this year they'll do the longer races. So effectively, as Shea said in the preview programs earlier on this week on imsaradio.com, they're taking 2 years to do one full season. But if it works commercially and it works for the people involved, then it works, doesn't it? Coming down to 9.5 minutes to go.
Yeah, in terms of value for money, John, these LMP3 cars really are tremendous. I mean, the cars are fast. Value for money and performance as well. I take all those factors into the equation. They are really good, and that's why we see LMP3 being so popular.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They look like good race cars. They sound fantastic, yeah. And particularly here in the US, where low revving V8s are the absolute lifeblood of racing, whether it's on the ovals or on the street and road courses. They kind of fit in possibly even better than they do in Europe, Jeremy.
Yeah, could be. And I mean, the IPC race that concluded just, half an hour or so ago, there were 20 cars in that race, or should have been 21, and pulled out because they had, amongst other things, an engine problem in qualifying. But these are different cars that have been running in the WeatherTech series than were in the prototype challenge.
The top of the shop at the moment, Cameron Shields for the number 26 Duquesne team is leading the champion, leading the qualifying at the moment. The 144.6, 145.5 for Ayetan Ori in another Duquesne, the number 6 car. And then it's Jarrett Andretti for the number 36 in third.
Yeah, and of course, it has to be a silver or bronze driver that qualifies the car in this Pro-Am category, LMP3. And Cameron Shields and Ayrton Ori, both of those two have experience in the USF 2000 Open Wheel Championship. Cameron Shields from Toowoomba, Australia, Queensland, Australia. Familiar with Toowoomba? Does that ring a bell? Will Power, yes indeed.
Yes,
same
exactly.
Town. But Cameron has been over here in the US now for 3 or 4 years, probably, at least. 3 or 4 years, and good guy. This is his debut in LMP3. Ayrton Ori, he also has done some open wheel racing in USF 2000 and F1600 before that, and he ran this race last year, so he has more experience in these cars than does Cameron Shields.
John Bennett improving to third. Yeah. Yes, two minds, one thought there, Jeremy.
He's already been driving for an hour this afternoon, though, of course, as John Bennett. He ran the IPC race just a little while ago. He was running very, very well for a while. They slipped back towards the end, he and George Kurtz. But he's done a good job here, third fastest in this session. Cameron Shields goes faster, 42.9. Incidentally, the pole position time yesterday for IPC, for the Prototype Challenge Series, was set by Memo Gidley. What a story that was. A 144.1. So Cameron Shields already gone well a good bit quicker than that, a 42.9 in the number 26 Duquesne for Mulner Motorsports America.
Yeah, and the reason that is a big story because Memo Gidley is back at the speedway here at Daytona after some time away from the sport, and let's be honest, quite a big accident here, Jeremy, a few years ago.
Horrific accident here 8 years ago, and just horrific accident and horrendous injuries as well. It was a really tough time that Memo had. He was in immense pain for several years while those injuries sort of healed themselves. And yeah, he went through a lot, did Memo, and it's wonderful to see him back. He's been driving back again now for the last 2 or 3 years in different series. Had some success last year in a Bentley Continental GT3 car, actually, in the SRO series, not in North America, but that was his first run back in a prototype car, first time back here at Daytona for Memo Gidley yesterday and today. And he had a great run too. He was leading the race very convincingly for a while.
5 minutes to go. The infield absolutely chocker for the roll before the Rolex 24. Had the Scouts of America with us this weekend, and they were doing their run round the track earlier on in the event. Good to have them with us this weekend. Really, really impressive again to see the infield so full this weekend here at the Daytona International Speedway. Know that a lot of you are listening to us on the very efficient P here this weekend, and thanks to everybody here at Daytona and the IMSA broadcast technical crew for getting us onto the PA and around the world. Coming down, as I say, under 5 minutes now. Cameron Shields goes faster again last time around with a 142.3 in that number 26 car, Jeremy. That's a good looking car in the blue and white livery for Moulinet Motorsports.
Now that's the car that was on the pole here last season with Moritz Kranz, who was precisely 1/100th of a second quicker than the time that had been set so far by Cameron Shields. Shields goes across the line there. Does he improve on this lap?
Yes, he does.
Does he? Good. Okay, there he is. 42.182. He finally came up on my scoring here. So there's a new lap record then for qualifying for the 21-year-old Australian Cameron Shields. Jared Andretti up into second place in car number 36 for Andretti Autosport, driving for his uncle's team there. And Nico Pino, a youngster 17 years of age from Chile, in third position for Performance Tech Motorsports in car number 38. Good run by him.
Missed hearing the sonorous sounds of these cars. Really kind of hits you in the sternum. Good to have cars back out at this time of the year. Been a tough couple of years for everybody in motor racing. Well done to IMSA for getting things done. And a full field of cars for the Rolex Daytona 24 this weekend. Next weekend, should I say. Just shows the desire for motor racing to put the last couple of years behind it, get business up and running again. It is a business, of course. Let's not forget that. And well done to everybody for making that happen. It is the number 38, Ligier, in second position from Performance Tech. Nico Pino is one of the younger drivers, the under 30 drivers, in second position at the moment. Then the Andretti car in third position, separated by half a second, if that. Coming down the last couple of minutes, Jeremy. It's now or never.
No improvement that time for Cameron Shields, 42.6 that time. But as you say, Nico Pino, the 17-year-old from Santiago in Chile, did improve, 43.2 for him. Jared Andretti also had a slow lap last time around. Ayrton Ori in fourth position did improve a foot, but he's 44.2, so a couple of seconds right now behind that Moulinet Motorsports car number 26.
Just after 4 o'clock in the afternoon here on the East Coast, so that makes it just after 10 in Europe, just after 9 in the UK. You're joining us this Saturday night. Nice to have your company for our exclusive coverage of qualifying for the qualifying race. We'll have that for you live tomorrow. Sound and vision, if you're outside the US. If they're inside the US, it is available on Peacock. NBC colleagues will be calling that for you in the US, although you can still listen to our audio, of course. Shea Adam in the pit lane. Jeremy Sean, John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Nico Pino just coming around to complete another lap. Here comes the 26, Cameron Shields. I have to say it, that Milner Motorsport has a look of a KCMG livery on that, Jeremy. And we've seen KCMG take the pole already in the GT Pro category. I've got to keep reminding myself about that. GTD Pro category. And there's a very similar colourway in that number 26.
Yeah, we used to see these Mjolnir cars over here running in LMP3, and they've always been fast, and Cameron Shields is fast as now. Checkered flag is out on this session. He did not improve on his last time around. Nico Pino, though, did, and got within 0.3 of a second, did Pino, on that last lap. 42.468 for the young Chilean. And he's going to, if he can find another, well, no, this next lap seems to be slower. So, in fact, he's brought that car into pit lane. So, looks like Cameron Shields remains at the top. A couple of guys taking the checkered flag. Ori Fidani takes the checkered flag, as does Jared Andretti. So, Andretti does not improve. He remains in third position in car number 36.
Hello to Noah Steen, who is wishing us all a happy new year. And we wish all of our listeners and viewers a happy new year. Got to do that, of course, as we're so far through January. I've forgotten that we haven't spoken to you since the turn of the year. Jack Gabriel working hard in the workshop. He says it's like working on the set of Heartbeat at the moment. He's got a very nice BMW up on the ramps there at the moment. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the weekend, and we start our extended coverage of the Rolex 24 on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. That's 8 o'clock UK, with a special edition of Midweek Motorsport from the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, overlooking the start-finish line. We were very honoured to be the first people to make a broadcast from that new broadcast centre after Daytona Rising. And we'll be with you on Thursday afternoon Eastern, and then through Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, of course, with extended coverage. We have the most broadcast hours, and it's all free, no blocks or breaks. For those of you outside the US, quite a lot of it in sound and vision as well. At imsaradio.com, hit the live video button if you want to see some pictures. Checkered flag is out, and I reckon Cameron Shields, Jeremy Short, needs to take a bow.
Yeah, what a debut by the, for the 21-year-old Australian there. Fine effort aboard this this Mjolnir Motorsports America car number 26, sets the pole position with a new LMP3 qualifying lap record. So what a great way to start your IMSA career. Talented young man, he's had some success. He's won a race in the USF 2000 Championship, which is no mean feat in its own right.
Indeed.
We struggled for budget, did Cameron, but had a lot of experience back in his native Australia before coming up to North America. Now finally making a move across to sports car racing, and what a debut it's been for him. He puts that car on pole position. But hats off also to the 17-year-old Chilean Nico Pino for the local Florida, well, another local Florida-based team, because Performance State Motorsports. Nico Pino, 17 years of old, second position within 0.3 of a second of Cameron Shields.
Hello to Esteban, who's in Buenos Aires. He's following the Argentinian drivers, Jose Maria Lopez and Luis Perez Compank, and following us here on IMSA Radio. Good to have your company. Big fan of those two Argentinian drivers. Esteban, thank you for your company. We will move on to another category of racing right now. Just hit me, because I'm looking at a couple of things on Twitter at the moment, at imsaradio.com. GTD Pro, we didn't mention the two Corvettes, Jeremy, who are competing in GTD Pro for the first time. They aren't GT3 cars. They've been sort of backwards engineered to something similar to a GT3 car, but clearly they were never designed as that. They've been put on the GT3 tyres, they've been mandated to run ABS and a different aero package. Tommy Milner and Antonio Garcia sitting in what positions in class?
10th and 11th in class.
Yes, exactly. It's not going to be easy for those guys, is it? I don't think it's going to be easy for them. I had a conversation whilst I was out in Dubai last weekend, and people said, well, you know, Corvette are going to run away with this. I'm not sure that's true, because that car was not designed to be GT3. Quite clearly, IMSA are looking very carefully at it. They've also got to run a different tyre completely than they've been used to, and a different electronics package, and the engines had to be turned down. It's a real challenge for them this year.
Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it? But they've welcomed the challenge, and it's great to see, because the cars are certainly fan favourites. A Corvette is always going to be a fan favourite, even a mid-engined one. And these cars have had so much success over the last few seasons. It's great to see that they wanted to keep that tradition alive in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. They've done what they needed to do, get that car into GTD specification. It's taken a fair bit of work, but Chevrolet doesn't do things by halves.
Not by halves, quarters, three quarters, or nine tenths. You're absolutely right. Shea Adam is down in the pit lane and can advise us of some of the qualifying drivers for. Let's start with LMP2. Shea, what do you know?
This category is the easy one, because a bronze driver must qualify the car. So for the 11 running with PR1 at Matheson this weekend, and this year I should say, it's Stephen Thomas. I believe that is Ben Keating's helmet behind the wheel of the 52, which is also PR1 Matheson, but that one's the Wins livery. We've got John Ferrano in the Tower Motorsport LMP2. It's Dwight Merriman in the 18 for Era Motorsport. In the 22 for United Autosport. We've got a lot of countries down here, by the way, guys. That is Jim McGuire. In the 20 for High Class Racing, that is Dennis Anderson. We've got Fritz van Eerd in the number 29. That is the Racing Team Nederland. I'm trying to remember who else I walked by. Oh, yes, there is a livery that you have not yet seen, John, but I'm pretty sure if you stare out your window in England, you would be able to see it, because we have determined that astronauts on the space station can see this livery. In the number 81 for Dragon Speed, it is Eric Lux. And you'll see it. You'll love it. As for the DPIs, that's my next stop. Got to go walk a little bit further down the pit lane to investigate those.
My eyes! I've got the... I've definitely got the sunshades on at the moment for the Kimura and the yellow and bright orange. Hello to our favourite Porsche technician, Blurfiend, who is in the infield at Daytona listening on the PA at the moment. And hopefully we'll get to see you in a week or so's time, a little bit less than that, when we have some time to come and have a wander around the infield ourselves when it's a little bit more busy for the Rolex 24 itself. Wayne Taylor Racing ready to go for Cunningham and Alta and the Acura. Wayne Taylor himself on the box at the moment. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us. Shea Adam has the qualifying drivers for the DPI. Shea, what do you have?
The first one is the car that is speaking in the background. That is Tom Blomqvist in the Acura for Meyer-Shank Racing in the Mustang sampling Cadillac. Tristan Vautier has done the qualifying duties for the last couple of years, and they've decided to leave him in it once again. Cadillac Racing have two cars here this weekend. One is the 01. Well, that is Ranger van de Zanden, a guy who's actually put it on overall pole here before not too very long ago. And in the 02, a guy who's never raced here at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, that would be Alex Lynn. For the 10 Acura, that's the Wayne Taylor Racing one, that is Philippe Albuquerque behind the wheel there. And the only two cars that I have left on this pit lane would be the 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac. That is Tristan Nunez qualifying that car for the first time ever. And in the 48, I think that's Kamui Kobayashi, because it looks like a white helmet. But I will have to double check that with the timing line there, John.
Thank you, Shea. Shea Adam down in the pit lane. Always good to have eyes and ears down there. Right, Jeremy. Who's on pole? Simple question.
Yeah, easy answer, right?
Yeah, correct.
Not. I tell you what, though, through the sessions so far, the two Acuras have tended to be at the front, number 60 and number 10. And what's interesting about the GPI field this year, we've got the same number of cars as before, seven, but different driver lineups in all of them, which is pretty interesting. The fastest time of the week so far was set yesterday. Was it yesterday? How many sessions have we had today? Yesterday's second session at 1:34.351. That was set by Tom Blomqvist from England. 1:34.351. The lap record here was set in qualifying in 2019 by Oliver Jarvis, who will be sharing that number 60 car, by the way, so will not be able to defend his track record. 1:33.685 is the qualifying lap record here in DP. In fact, the overall that was even quicker than the old, back in the way old days. So a super fast lap there for Oliver Jarvis, 1:33.685. Last year's pole position, also by Jarvis for this race, a 1:34.442, which is fractionally slower than Blomqvist's time this morning, fractionally.
Green flag is showing for the final qualifying for qualifying. Hello to Marcel Duke. Said Saturday evening in Central Europe, he said, time for relaxing and the qualifying for the qualifying. Good to hear Gearbox Girl, Shea Adam, Jeremy Shaw and Hindy in the broadcast. Marcel, enjoy your weekend. Live tomorrow with Sound and Vision for you, of course, as you're outside the US. Hello to Paul Borkart at the moment as well. He says, can you send over a blanket? It's pretty cold in Daytona today. Fair point, actually. It hasn't been warm. There has been some precipitation earlier on. Paul, if you check your Skype, I've sent something for you as well. I think you're probably sorted right now for it, but just in case. The Daytona prototypes seem to be LMDHs, of course. The LMDH category this time next year will be debuting at the Daytona International Speedway. We've already seen the Porsche out on circuit at Vysac, although my intelligence says not all of the Porsche, because they didn't have the hybrid on there. A little bit of a delay on the hybrid system, so that was ruled out for PR purposes. They were hoping to get it out before the end of last year. They're doing all of the development work for the Volkswagen AG brands, which includes Audi, Lamborghini to come, of course. And so we won't see the Audi for a wee while until the development's done. Waiting to see the other new cars coming out for 2023. What a year that is shaping up to be, but you know what? I still think we've got a cracking year this year, Jeremy, with how things are shaping up already. The 02, the dark red, looks absolutely fantastic. And that car just going out of turn five at the moment with the 01 Cadillac right behind it. A little bit more colour on that car. It was the putty coloured car last year, but a black and red on that car for the Cadillac 01 this year.
Yeah, different livery for that car, and the of course running two cars this season for Chip Ganassi Racing. That's great to see. The other car is the similar sort of charcoal-y on the front, but sort of kind of burgundy colour, very similar,
yeah, lovely,
to the Mazda.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
Half section of that car, yeah.
It's that sanguineous, very dark blood red colour that looks, I think, looks fantastic on race cars. And they're running together at the moment.
Yeah.
Down across the start-finish line.
And the two Cadillacs working together there from Shipanashi Racing. We have one behind the other, giving a bit of a toe there. It's number 02 car that is ahead of the 01 at the moment.
Renger van der Zander, Seb Bourdais, Scott Dixon and IndyCar champion Alex Palou in the 01 with Earl Bamber, the New Zealander, Alex Lynn from the UK, Marcus Ericsson from Sweden and Kevin Magnussen from Denmark in the 02. I don't see a weak link in either of those cars and those eight drivers, Jeremy.
No, you're absolutely right there. Stellar driver lineup there in both the Ganassi cars, as of course one would have expected. But certainly your experience is going to be the question there. Alex Lynn, he hasn't raced at Daytona before, though he has raced at Sebring. Oh, and actually did fairly well, didn't he? Because he won that race. Was that back in 2017? That was for the Wayne Taylor team. Marcus Ericsson hasn't driven a prototype sports car before, but massive amount of experience in the IndyCars, of course, before that in Formula One. And Alex Palou, the reigning NTT IndyCar Series champion, driving the 01 car with van der Zander, Bourdais and Dixon. He who set the fastest time in that car so far this week.
And it's Renger van der Zander in that car at the moment. Jimmy Johnson, by the way, has jumped into the number 48 and is taking the Allied Cadillac edge. He shares that with no lesser driving talent than Kamui Kobayashi, Mike Rockenfeller, just Le Mans winners and FIA world champions, and Jose Maria Lopez, see above comment. That's not a bad lineup either, to be fair.
The whole field is really stunning. Tell you what, though, I believe that Jimmy Johnson has set the fastest time of the day of the week so far in that number 48 car, of the drivers in that number 48 car.
Good for him.
Pretty stout.
Rolex 24 hours at Daytona. First round of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for 2022 across the RSL network of sound and video channels, and on IMSA Radio and IMSA.TV across the season. You've got to say, Jeremy, that it was 2014 when the two series in the States came together. That's not an awful long time ago in terms of motor racing. And as we stand here now looking at the cars going around and we look at the entry list here we're closed, there's no one else allowed in, absolutely maxed out entry list with the drivers here, there's no make weight teams, there's no make weight drivers here at the Rolex 24 for Daytona 2022.
No, sensational, isn't it? And we haven't had more than 60 starters for this race. Have to go back to 2008. There were 67. There were 67 cars in 2014. So it's the biggest field we've had since then. And before that was another 6 years before that. So yeah, it is a great field. And I tell you what, the quality of drivers
solid.
In this field is absolutely sensational.
Yeah,
it's not just solid, it's sensational. There are, it's going to be a fantastically competitive race, isn't it?
People ask me, Jeremy, obviously because of my associations, about, Le Mans down through the years. But, I've been going to Le Mans since 89, working at Le Mans. And there was always a couple of cars that you thought, where have they come from? And, you don't get that nowadays at Le Mans, and you don't get that now at the Rolex either. There are literally, cars 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deep in every class that are podium possibilities. Jimmy Johnson just running a little bit wide, coming out of the International Horseshoe, down through the kink to the western end of the racetrack. Turns in now. He's got actually a decent bit of circuit in front of him. This could be a good run for JJ. No cars between him and the bus stop at the moment. And that is a very long way away. So he's got a decent run. Second place at the moment for Renger van der Zander. in the 0-1 in the Acura, and he's just coming down the kink now.
Yeah, when you started that sentence, he was quickest, so was Renko van der Zander. Just been eclipsed by Tristan Vautier, 34.034. So those are the fastest times of this week so far. As I said earlier on, the best time so far was set in session two, a 134.3. So we've already got the top four cars faster than that in this qualifying session. It's now the Cadillac 1-2, however, Vautier ahead of van der Zander by less than a tenth of a second.
And van der Zander off. Van der Zander off at the west end of the infield in that Cadillac. And he's buried the left front into the banded tyres there. Just missed his braking point by nothing at all. Anybody that thinks racing driving is easy, think again. And the moment that the Michelin tyres were on the grass, there was no coming back from that. There's not a huge amount of damage there, but Renger will be, number one, cursing himself. Number two, hoping he can get that into reverse and get that, well, at the moment, not getting anything. Scott Dixon is watching on with his teammate.
And he'd just gone purple in sector one on this lap, had Renko van der Zander. So he was certainly pushing that car to its very, very limits. And he overstepped the limit there in turn five.
Yeah, just came through the kink and just locked. Did he lock it up? I'm not sure. Shea Adam down in the pit lane. Repercussions here if we go red. And we have gone red.
We have gone red. That means that Renger van der Zande and the 0-1 Cadillac racing car loses not only its fastest lap, but its second fastest lap as well, moving it well further down from second. I would reckon that'll put him down at the back of the DPI field.
Well, that's very, very unfortunate. But that, you know, it is... I do like this rule, Jeremy. I know people will be in two minds about it, but I think if you cause a red, you should have to pay the price for it. You've potentially ruined other people's race or qualifying session. The clock is still running at the moment. Now, what happened with Renger? I think he just locked up as he was going in to the Western Horseshoe there. He was actually quite a long way. He got quite a long way around it. Normally you see people going off earlier in the piece than that. He was about halfway around it when he hit the wall.
He wasn't giving up, was he? But just got a bit optimistic there. It's, I mean, your conditions aren't perfect out there right now, but that was a super fast lap that he was on, and just got a little bit too deep, and off he goes into the tire wall. So yeah, he will be disappointed by that. But the good news is there's only seven cars in DPI, so he'll be able to take the start. Even if he's at the back of those seven, at least he's going to be in the thick of the competition. In LMP2, by the way, as expected, we saw Ben Keating and Stephen Thomas going back and forth for the fastest time. Stephen Thomas held it for much of the session, but Ben Keating snuck one in there just before the red flag came out at a 137.296. For the Texan.
Clock has not been stopped here. There is a regulation within IMSA competition that you have to do a certain amount of green flag to make the qualifying legal. Looks to me as though Renger, once the red flag came out, has been able to reverse that car away with a little... Well, no, he's had a little bit of help from a recovery vehicle and tow strap. Of course, we have had rain here, Jeremy, so the grass is wet, and you know, getting a car out on the grass with slick Michelin tyres. Michelin do great tyres. We love Michelin tyres. They do really well, and Michelin slick tyres are phenomenally good on the racetrack, but they're not meant for rally crossing.
No, they're not. And I tell you what, we had a good exemplification of their effectiveness of wet weather tyres on a dry track in the IPC race a little while ago, because there were several cars there that did not change tyres at the first pit stop an hour into a three-hour race, and ran the whole second stint, pretty much a full hour, on a pretty much dry racetrack on wet weather tyres, which is pretty impressive.
Shea Adam, let's go down to Shea while we get a moment. There's a couple of things we want to pick up before we run out of time here. Sarah Rigby, Shea, has tweeted us at IMSA Radio to see if you can shed any light on the issue suffered by the Heart of Racing Vantage in GTD. They had a good run in GT4 at Dubai last weekend, but they didn't have a good run in qualifying here. What was the issue?
The left front tire was not secured properly to the car, and it was sticking out about 2 inches beyond the edge of the vehicle. So it was actually good of Roman to get it back without any sort of damage. And, yeah, not losing the tire either. But I'm just down here with JDC Miller Motorsport, the Mustang sampling car, which will be starting tomorrow's event from first place. So a good job from this team. They're all very happy about it. And let me see if I can dive in with Christian Fittipaldi really quickly. He's just taking pictures of Tristan Vautier. Christian, it's not a pole position, but it might as well be, right? Starting first, best position.
Well, it's always good to be able to start on the front. But as you said, like, it's not even close to being a pole position. And obviously what counts is next weekend. As we all know this, we've been here for a long time. But it's awesome to be up front. The car felt very good the whole weekend. But there's a long ways to go. And better to start in the front than start in the back.
Very much so. Congratulations to you guys. I know it'll be a little party tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always satisfying, especially when you're against, like, big guns like Ganassi, Wayne Taylor, Action. Like, those guys definitely put a lot of effort into the program. And we're happy to be here. JDC Mustang sampling car was very competitive. So as we know, we have a mini race tomorrow, and we have the big one next weekend.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow. Thanks, Christian. Ever the professional actually slipped off the platform that he was standing on. The 01, when it came back to the pit lane, did not actually go to its box. It was directed to go straight behind the wall, as is the protocol for all the cars coming in at the end of the qualifying sessions. But of course, everybody else coming in to wait out the red flag now has to do that 60-point turn and then make it back to that opening in the garage. Engines are firing. People are going to get a bit of dinner before night practice.
Thank you, Shea. Yeah, that. And that car, Jeremy, slipping all the way to that car, the 01 car, sorry, not giving you the full picture there. The 01 Renger van der Zande, which caused the red flag, because of it losing its time, Jeremy, slipping all the way down to 10th place. There's P2s between it and the DPIs, and it'll be Ben Keating's number 52 car on pole for P2 tomorrow for the race, and Tristan Vautier for Mustang sampling on pole for DPI. Jeremy.
Yeah, indeed, John, a fascinating qualifying session, and I think it bodes well for what should be a very exciting race tomorrow. The good news for Renger van der Zande, even though he's shown us the 10th fastest time, he will move ahead of the LMP2 cars on the grid for tomorrow's race. But an excellent effort by Tristan Vautier, hard-won pole position. So Cadillac draws the first blood here ahead of Acura.
Just a quick reminder that we are back on air a little before 2 p.m. Eastern. That's, 7 o'clock in the UK, 8 o'clock in Europe for the qualifying race tomorrow. This is very interesting indeed. It's Cadillac, Acura, then three more Cadillacs before an Acura in the top six. Then the first of the P2s, Jeremy, which is looking very interesting. P3s headed up, as we reported earlier on, by the number 26, Duquesne. And a Porsche on top of GT3 Pro and a Mercedes on GT3 Am. Shit, Adam, just before we turn in for the night, what have you got, Shea?
Just really quickly, Bobby Orgel, your team finished the season almost perfectly with Pierre-One Matheson getting the championship. You started off with the best position for tomorrow's race. How big is this for you guys? Just to let everyone else know, you're still the number one P2 team.
I don't know about number one, but we try hard, and we just got to keep our head down, you know, do our thing and swing as hard as we can all the time. Some awesome competition here this year especially. It's amazing, and I love it. I thank them for coming, and from our end of the fence, you know, adding the 11 car and Steven into the program here, Steven Thomas and Jonathan Bomarito Harry and Josh Pearson. I mean, it's pretty neat, you know, the big picture. really comes down to we just got to keep our head down, treat it as if we were always just a small team, because that's still what we are.
And you've got two bullets in the gun for tomorrow's race, in essence, to try and get the better pit box. Are you going to have the two cars working together for that one united goal?
You know, the pit box is already set, so that's the pit boxes don't move. So the goal really is learn for the race. The big picture right now is we need to understand more about, you know, what can make us better for the race. There's a few points involved. That's always interesting, and we want that. But it's always about next week for this thing. I mean, it's tough when you do a race before the race that, you know, could impact a big part of your real goal being the Rolex.
Thanks, Bobby. Good luck tomorrow, and better luck next Sunday.
Yeah, thanks again. Appreciate that.
Jeremy Shaw, just a quick thought as we wrap things up here on IMSA Radio. Cadillac Acura, three Cadillacs and Acura, then the pole in LMP2. This is very interesting indeed as we head into tomorrow's qualifying race.
Certainly is. A surprise for me there was Tom Blomqvist down in the sixth position in that number 60 Meyer Shank Acura.
He's been quick.
Yeah, it had set the fastest time in coming into this session, 134.3. Best Blomqvist could manage was a 135.4. So we'll have to find out what the problem was there, perhaps, for the number 60 car. But look, a great session all the way around. And hats off to IMSA for having this GTD Pro session and having all the cars running the same specifications. Tremendous effort by Alex Imperatore for the KCMG car to put that car on pole position in GTD. And hats off also to Kenny Harbel, the Australian there. Two Australian pole sitters there with Cameron Shields in LMP3 and Kenny Harbel for GTD. Great effort. Third fastest overall of the GTD cars.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good point, Jeremy. And as you say, John Doonan and IMSA had put their neck on the block in some ways to start off this GT3, GT Daytona Pro category. 13 cars already looks like it was a great move. Everybody's looking at that at the moment. Check IMSAradio.com for our schedule for tomorrow for the qualifying race. Automatically auto converts into your time zone. Jeremy Shaw was with me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam was our pit lane reporter. Thanks to Tim Gray up in London, to Keith D'Alessandro and our colleagues at NASCAR Productions in Charlotte. They've had a very long day today already. We'll be back tomorrow for that qualifying race. Join us then. Enjoy your Saturday afternoon stroke evening. And we'll see you tomorrow, Sunday, for the qualifying race for the Raw before the Rolex 24. Bye-bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.